Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. So glad to be spending some time with you. I know you have a busy weekend right in the middle of it. Well, that's okay. We're going to help you through any of the challenges that you're having in and around your home. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my co-host, Joe Truini.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us. Here we are, Danny. Welcome to the very first week of spring as we kick off one of the best seasons of the year. I suspect a lot of people are going to start working outdoors on outdoor projects. So if you have a question about your home or your yard or your garden, get in touch with us.
Hey, we certainly want to help you any way we can. You know, people love to send emails. Well, we love to get them. And you can send us one by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. Or you can pick up the telephone anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and call the Today's Homeowner hotline. You can reach us at 800-946-4420. Also love to remind you about the Today's Homeowner Facebook page, another great way to get a constant stream of practical, realistic home improvement information and ideas and inspiration that you can use around your home. That's the Today's Homeowner Facebook, and you can send us messages through there as well. I'll tell you, Joe, I guess we have to talk a little bit about the lumber prices. We got an update on all of that. And, you know, a year ago, the rising price of lumber drove the price of construction, especially new home construction, way up. And, you know, this increased prices and supply shortage kind of slowed down construction considerably. And this was a little over a year ago. Then in summer 2021, the prices fell back down to pre-pandemic levels of 2019. We thought, okay, well, we're doing okay. Things are back down, even though they're still higher than you want. They're back down, but then things have started going up again.
Yeah, they are. They're still about 15% lower than the peak, which I think was in May of last year. But that's still three times higher than the price pre-pandemic. So depending on how you look at it, yes, I guess prices are lower, but they're three times higher than they really should be, or they were 2 years ago. So that's causing, you know, a lot of stalled construction projects. I don't know about what's going on down in South Alabama where you are, but here in New England, I see a lot of buildings that have just stopped. You know, the foundations are in, and I guess they're waiting for the price of lumber to come back.
Sure. Well, I have seen a lot of stalled construction, but then again, you turn the corner and, well, right across the river from me, I see a big house being constructed there. So at some point, people are going to build. They have their dream set up. They have their financing set up, and they're moving ahead. And that's the other thing, that a lot of people are trying to get ahead of any of the interest rate hikes that might be right around the corner, even though they're supposed to be very modest in their increase in pricing. It still can make a big difference if you're building a home. And, you know, so many people ask me why. You know, is it just greedy lumber barons that are driving the price up? Well, that may have a little bit to do with it, but when you think about the reasons behind these problems, is that the sawmills, you know, didn't think there would be so much work happening during the pandemic, so they backed away from their capacity that they were able to put out, and then they've been trying to catch up, but then the labor shortage makes it even harder for them to really stock up all of the people they need in these sawmills to create everything. So the sawmill output significantly behind, but hopefully they will get all back in shape, get people in there working, and be able to catch up with the demand. But it's quite the phenomenon that we're having to deal with, and really hurting a lot of people that are trying to improve their home.
Yeah, and you're right. The sawmills, when the pandemic hit, they had a slight miscalculation. They thought that once the pandemic hit, everything was going to shut down. So they dumped all their lumber, all their stock they had. They sold as quickly as possible because they didn't want to get stuck with it. And then just the opposite happened. Suddenly everybody was home working on their house, and they thought, uh-oh, now what? How do we start up again? And they've been trying ever since. And this most recent rise, according to the National Association of Home Builders, this rise in lumber prices adds $18,600 to the price of a newly built home.
Wow.
So that's not making the home any better or any bigger, but it's costing almost $19,000 more.
Well, traditionally, a lot of times when you hear about interest rate hikes and you hear about high lumber costs, that really drives a lot of people to look around what they have and start remodeling and improving the house that you're in. If you're right along that mindset and thinking about that, well, here on Today's Homeowner, we have a lot of information to share with you that you know, ways that you can really improve your home without spending a lot of money or a lot of your time. And until we can kind of get through this cycle of really high prices, and then you can revisit some of those more, let's say, labor-intensive projects that you have there. Now, a week or so ago, we had a homeowner that was having a problem with squirrels. I'll tell you, those squirrels can cause you so many problems, and they're just so unpredictable on things that they will chew away on at your house. And one of the callers had a situation where she had fiber cement trim. Well, a lot of people know it as the brand name James Hardie siding. And the squirrels, for some reason, were kept just attacking this one trim. And there was a lot of ways you can go. There is squirrel repellent. There's different homespun recipes and all. But we love it when someone that's listening to the show calls in with a recommendation on that. And that's what we have right now we want to share with you.
Howdy, this is Lon Rodine. I'm in Colorado Springs. And there's one thing that works on rodents and skunks. And it also works on raccoons. And that is Irish Spring bar soap. You just cut the bars in half and just lay them out wherever you have the infiltration, whether it's inside your house or out, it works. It works 100% of the time. I've had trouble with squirrels. I've had trouble with mice, and they don't even come around. And it lasts quite a long time. It's super cheap, and it works. Take care.
Oh, there you
go.
Wow,
that's great.
We appreciate that, Lon. We appreciate you calling that in. And you know, one of the things I think about, well, first of all, soap is, you know, fairly inexpensive, especially if you go to some of the outlet areas like the dollar stores and things. You can buy bars of Irish Spring soap. And, you know, I kind of like that soap myself. I guess the squirrels just don't like whatever fragrance that is that it puts off.
Right. That's why the squirrels keep running when Danny walks out of his house. They take off. They go to the neighbor's house.
But, you know, the thing about it is so many times they'll have, you know, you talk about pepper spray, spraying different cayenne pepper and things like that, different homespun remedies. But, you know, the first time it rains, that's gone. Whereas with the soap, yes, it'll eventually dissolve, but it almost enhances the smell and so forth of the Irish Spring soap if it gets a little water on it. So
get a nice lather for the squirrels. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they might, you know, be out there taking their little shower and things like that, singing. You know,
as long as they're not chewing on the siding.
Right. As long as they're not chewing on the siding, we've done two things. we've prevented additional damage and provided entertainment for those that like to see squirrels dancing around singing in the shower. So,
well, we had presented with squirrel tables last year. When they're eating at the table, they have to clean up. So they eat at your squirrel table and they go to the Irish Spring, they clean up, they wash themselves up, and then they go take a nap.
They're having a whole little squirrel festival out there.
Any listener that missed that, just go to Google and type in, I think they're just called squirrel picnic tables, right? Was there some other name? And it's basically like a little tiny table you screw to your trees and the squirrels come and sit there and eat. And I guess people find that really entertaining to find a little squirrel sitting at a table.
Hey, Joe, I was going to tell you, just this past weekend, I spent in St. Augustine with some friends from my hometown.
The country's oldest city, right?
Absolutely. I was there on the oldest street in America. And it's very interesting when you go to places like that because you all of a sudden you realize, you know, I really don't know a lot about history. I thought I did, but it makes you want to go back. But anyway, we had a great time in St. Augustine. Wonderful place. I was amazed. It only has 15,000 people living there, but they get 5 million tourists there each year. But anyway, we were flying out of Daytona, and we were driving back in a rental car to go there. My wife is obsessed with getting a small RV. She wants a small little motor home.
Right.
And I said, look, I've got to have another truck before you can look at an RV. You know, it's family negotiations we're doing here while we're driving down the interstate. So anyway, she picks up her iPad. Within an hour, I'm test driving a truck. within the next hour, I have canceled my airplane flight, and I am packed up in this truck driving back to Mobile, Alabama, which is
a truck or RV?
The truck. And if I'd have stayed there longer, she'd have found an RV because she was ready to go. So she took care of that little contingency. So I have a nice truck now, and she is scouring everywhere for a motor home.
If you're a little further away from home, you could have stopped in your new truck and picked up an RV.
I know. Well, she had hinted to that, but we had to get back home. Hey, we're just getting started on Today's Homeowner Radio this week. We have a lot of information to share with you. And when we come back, we're going to talk about what you can do if you have a vine that's grown on stucco, which looks nice, but when you're ready for that stucco to be revealed, the things that are left behind can be a challenge. Hey, we're going to tackle that and a whole lot more coming up right here on today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The sound of you doing is music to our ears. Order on the Home Depot app and get convenient delivery so you don't have to stop doing when you need something. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
The Today's Homeowner radio show is heard coast to coast on some amazing stations, over 350 stations now, including this one in Bedford, Indiana, 1340 AM WBIW. Special thanks to Holly Davis and Sean Duncan and the whole team for having us on the air there, and we look forward to helping you with any challenge that you may have in and around your home in that part of Indiana. You can reach out to us anytime by sending us an email, todayshomeowner.com/ask is where you need to go to send that email in, or you can just pick up the phone anytime, 800-946-4420. That's what Rhonda in Naples, Florida did. Rhonda, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house there.
Thank you. We just purchased this stucco vacation home in Naples, and the stucco is in perfect condition. There are no cracks, there are no chips, nothing. It's all perfect. The previous owners planted jasmine around the arch of the covered entrance, mm-hmm. and it's secured with fishing wire, and it's attached to anchored screws. Mm-hmm. When we pulled off the jasmine, we're now left with these small jasmine pieces and screws that are secured with anchors. We tried to brush those pieces of jasmine with small wire brush, but the jasmine has kind of grown into the stucco. My question is, how do we remove the jasmine pieces that have grown into the stucco, and how to repair the holes in the stucco after we remove the screws with the anchors?
Okay, that's a great question, and I can see the picture here. And, you know, it's amazing. I've seen this happen a lot where, especially change of ownership, where the previous owner loved the vines and loved that, but, you know, maybe a new homeowner wants to remove it. I've seen the same thing on stucco fencing and that type of thing. And It's amazing how the roots can get down in to the pores of that material and makes it very, very hard to get it off. First of all, you know, a lot of scraping or abrasion and so forth is going to hurt it a good bit. And of course, Mother Nature is going to help a lot in removing all of this. And I'll get Joe's recommendation on how to really get that off and to accelerate that deterioration. But, you know, on the holes that you have there, the lead anchors, you can take a needle nose pliers and just play with those lead anchors and they'll pull out of there. You can just kind of collapse them a little. It's soft material. You can get that out of there. Mm-hmm. And then probably the easiest and best thing to fill those holes to keep you from seeing them is a caulk. Just basically mm-hmm. fill it up with caulk, and then you may even play with the caulk a little bit while it's still wet to make it look a little bit like the finish that you have on the stucco. So a lot of times you can take a small piece of carpet and dab on it that creates a texture like that. Sometimes a paper towel is enough just to kind of make it look a little bit like the surrounding surface, allow it to dry well, and then the challenge then, of course, is to do the touch-up painting so that it blends in with the color of the stucco. That might be the trickiest part of it, but they can always mix you a small quart of paint to the color just so that you can dab it on like that with a small brush.
The previous owner actually left us some paint, so that shouldn't
good.
Be a problem. Yeah.
Good, good. Hey, Joe, what do you think about all of this leftover jasmine roots and so forth? I know after a while the sun, the rain, and the wind will take care of it all, but how
right.
can you maybe accelerate that process a little bit?
Well, Rhonda, the first thing you want to do is you don't want to just start tugging on these, because if they're still a little green, meaning not completely dead and really dried up, you can wind up pulling off, because they grow, be surprised how deeply they can grow into or behind that stucco. And
right.
the last thing you want to do is pull them off and then chip the stucco. Now you have a stucco repair. And the same thing goes with those anchors. The way I've removed those anchors before is you back the screw out, maybe just a little bit, like a quarter inch. Then you can grab the screw head with a pair of pliers and pull out the screw and the anchor at one time. But again, as Danny mentioned, be really careful. Move it around a little bit left to right. Sort of loosen up that anchor, because if the anchor is in really deep and you pull it, you're going to pull off a big chunk of stucco. So I'm just warning you, just be really careful with that. You know, once these tendrils, sometimes they call them suckers, but these tendrils that have grown into the stucco, once they've been dead for quite a while and you know, you can feel that they're kind of dry and cracking off. I mean, the easiest thing is really just with a stiff bristle nylon brush and soapy water. You can usually clean off most of it. And I also heard that people have used, not bleach, because you don't want to use bleach, but they've used pool shock. It's like a chemical they use for shocking pool water.
Right, right.
It's calcium hypochlorite is the active ingredient. But you can dilute that and put that on there, and that really kills them and makes them easy to remove. But I think I would just use soapy water and a brush and get most of that, get it all off that you can.
So one second, I just want to ask you, you're saying that we should wait for it to dry, like for a week or a month or so?
How long ago had you removed this jasmine?
A week ago.
Oh yeah, I think you're going to have to wait. And of course, if it keeps raining or something like that, it's going to be an issue, because it won't dry out. And if it's not in the sun, it won't dry out. But I would think just wait until you grab a couple pieces and you see they just snap right off nice and dry.
Oh, excellent. Excellent.
Because you don't want to cause more damage than you have already, that's for sure.
Right. Oh, this all makes so much sense. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, good, Rhonda. Hope we've been able to help you a little bit on that. And best of luck and have some fun on that second home down there.
Thank you so much. I just want you to know how much I enjoy your show. It comes on very early in the morning in Nashville, Tennessee, where I live, but I get up for it every single Saturday.
Well, I'll tell you what, the gentleman there, well-known program director, Mark Benda, from that particular station, called us recently and said that we had the highest rating show at that time of the morning, which, you know, that means a lot because they have so much news programming and things. And he said we have the more people watching at that time than any other, you know, any other show they have on there, bar none. So it was he couldn't believe it. He was, you know, because of the time slot and so forth. So we appreciate you being one of our viewers there.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, Rhonda, well, you have a great weekend, and we hope to talk to you again. You take care. Okay, let's jump right on to some emails now, and you can send us one anytime by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. This one came from Cindy in Greenback, Tennessee. I have a gap between two French doors, as you can see on the outside from the inside. These doors have always been this way. How do I fix the gap between the doors? Now, this is assuming that the crack we're talking about, which is not that uncommon, is the vertical crack between the two doors. The normal setup on that is you have a little piece of mold that is T-shaped, and it's generally called a T-astrical. Now, this is installed on the door that generally is stationary for the most part. And then you have foam weather stripping running vertically down there so that when the operable door touches it, it seals it up and you should not be able to see any light from the inside out. They're notorious for getting, you know, out of adjustment or having some gaps here and there. The same way for, you know, like any door along the threshold as well. On the bottom part, you want to make sure there's no gaps at all on that. If there are, make sure you go to the home center and pick up the weather stripping that you need. It'll make it very, very easy to keep that cold air out, the warm air in, whichever you're working with, whatever season. It's important that you don't have those gaps at all. Let's grab another one real quick. Joe, this is from Dewey in Kentucky. There's a strange odor coming from the drain in our bathroom vanity. It starts when we first turn on the water, hot or cold. I've tried a few drain cleaning products, but none has really worked well. The sink drains okay, and I'm sure it's not a venting issue. Thank you for any suggestions would be welcome. And no, I'm not going to move. So take that off. You can't give that as a reason, Joe, but could it actually be something to do with the water and not the drain?
Yeah, I think it's just probably a buildup of soap and hair and everything else. And what he needs to do is disassemble and clean out the trap, the curved pipe under the sink, and the tailpiece. A lot of people never clean the tailpiece. And the tailpiece is simply that straight piece of pipe that leads from the sink drain straight down into the trap, into that U-shape or P-shape piece. So disassemble all of that. Now, when you disassemble the trap, the tailpiece stays on the sink. You don't take that off, but you do have to get on your back and reach up in there and clean that off. And last time I did, I just stuck my finger up, then I wiped it around the inside of the pipe. I couldn't believe the crud that came out. It was just like black mud, thick mud that was at least a quarter inch thick. And that bacteria builds up on that, and that's what causes the smell. So that's all you need to do. You have to really clean that out well.
There you go, Dewey. That should make things a little more pleasant in the bathroom there. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking about moles and voles. They're starting to be quite a problem in one homeowner's yard. We're going to figure out exactly how to solve that problem and maybe move them to the neighbor's yard. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Call Today's Homeowner anytime, 800-946-4420. Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. We're brought to you by Tite Bond, the pro's advantage.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment, brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. Sometimes the simplest improvements can prove difficult to complete because of the hassles of installing a simple accessory in your home. That's why I love it when a manufacturer thinks about the homeowner and makes the installation process as easy as possible. That's what the Home Decorators Collection has done with their new Snap Install Hook Rack. It's a decorative four-hook rack that's ideal for hats, scarves, or just about anything that you may need to hang, and a great place to fill up a little space on your wall. Now, what makes the installation so easy? It is a rail mounting system with an integrated level. You simply place it on the wall where you want it, level the rail, and drive screws through the pre-drilled holes, preferably into studs, but wall anchors work as well. Now then, the decorative rack just snaps into place over the rail to complete the project. Secure mounting with no visible fasteners. Now for more information on this Home Decorator Snap Install Hook Rack, log on to HomeDepot.com. Another way that you can do a little decorating, a little functionality in any room that you may have. Right now, we're going to switch right back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline, which you can call anytime, 800-946-4420. That's where we have Russell in Virginia. Russell, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house.
I live on a slope, and I have a problem with moles and voles. They tear up the ground, and when we get a heavy rain, the dirt will be compromised, and it causes ruts that are kind of treacherous to encounter when you're walking down the slope. And they also go around, I have a big concrete slab, and they go around it, and they compromise the integrity of the concrete.
Boy, it's just amazing what the moles and the voles can do in a yard. And, you know, when they have a little time out there, they must work all night long because you see just tunnels everywhere. Joe, we've talked about this quite a bit in the past, and it seemed like it just pops up a couple times a year. What do you think in the research that you've done is probably the best thing for Russell to try?
Yeah, Russell, as Danny said, we've answered this before. And you said you have moles and voles, or you're not sure which you have?
I think the moles make the tracks, and the voles come behind them, and they eat the grubs. And I got a lot of grubs.
Okay.
They work together, I think.
Yeah, maybe they've unionized since they first came onto your property, and they're working together. But I think what you've got, actually, moles are carnivorous, so they'll eat the insects and grubs and earthworms. So if you have moles, and moles, by the way, they're always underground for the most part. And so what we always tell people to do is, well, if the moles are there, they're there for a reason, right? So it's the grubs. So you have to use a pre-emergent herbicide to kill the grubs, and then the moles won't have anything to eat, and they'll leave, your property. Voles, on the other hand, are vegetarians. They only eat the stems of plants and roots. and they're typically above ground. They look more like field mice, voles. So you'll see them scurrying around, look like little short, fat field mice.
Right.
That's a vole. A mole, they're like, got like paddle-shaped feet and little tiny eyes, and you know, and because they're underground the whole time. So I suspect what you probably have are the moles, and they're eating the grubs. So you have to get rid of the grubs first with the herbicide. If you wanted to trap and kill the moles, then you'd have to get those not nice devices, but they have spikes that are spring loaded, and the mole crawls across it. It just stabs them right through and kills them, you know, and then you have to pull them up, and it's not a pleasant experience, but that is one way if you want to trap them and kill them.
I did have another question about around my concrete. The ground washes away, and I've been filling it in with pea gravel. And is that a good thing to do, or is there a better idea for that?
Well, if you're going to use gravel, I wouldn't use pea gravel because that washes away too quickly. I think you need something that could pack down more tightly.
Okay.
Exactly. That does help on the drainage aspect of it, though. And of course, you can always dig down a little bit, put concrete around it as well, just to kind of bolster the whole foundation of that. But as Joe mentioned, hopefully some of these ideas will solve that problem, because they can create just an absolute mess in your yard.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Russell, for being with us from Smithfield, Virginia.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to mention it because I just thought of it for Russell. But Danny, you know, the paver base that we talk about all the time when you're putting on concrete pavers,
uh-huh.
That might be something he can use around the concrete patio, because that really packs down really tightly. It still lets water drain through and probably would stop that erosion. Though certainly it would be a lot better than the pea gravel.
Yeah, very, very easy to use. Hey, I wanted to let you know that, you know, we talked a lot about the Backyard Paradise Contest. Had thousands and thousands of people enter that with some fantastic backyards and some wonderful stories. It was very, very hard to make the decision, but the winner is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Courtney Clogus won the Backyard Paradise Contest for this year. We're going to very soon, the end of April, hit it up to tape that show, and so you'll be able to see it on the Today's Homeowner Television Show the last week in May. Thanks so much for everybody that took the time to enter that contest. It's one of our, you know, more successful contests throughout the year, more popular ones. And sorry you didn't win this year, but don't forget to always keep an eye out on todayshomeowner.com for contests that we have all throughout the year.
Have you figured out the design? Remember last time you were really excited about the design that they came up with for the backyard. Have you gotten a chance to do that for this yard yet?
No, they're working on it right now. Matter of fact, there's a lot of conversation back and forth, making sure we integrate a lot of the things that the homeowner wants in the project. And, you know, one thing that we haven't done that's being talked about, not sure we'll do that in the show, but I love water features.
Right.
And when you can take the Pavestone product and create, you know, a basin, we do the waterproofing in it, get the water supply to it.
Yeah.
It's really a pretty simple thing, and nothing like the you know, that water sound when you're
yes.
outside. And we'll be able to have it where you can turn it on and off very easily. But I'm looking forward to that. So I think that's what, you know, our part of the project while working with the Pavestone people will probably be that water feature.
Is it a pretty flat property? Have you seen it? Is it relatively flat? Because that would probably make it easier, right?
We've just seen pictures and videos,
yeah.
And there's a slight grade that we're dealing with, but it's pretty much one of those blank, you know, clean pallets. There's not a lot going on there.
Right.
It's a small little patio area that's hardly usable at all, and we're going to make it real usable with what we're planning on doing there. So we're looking forward to...
Is that family with kids?
No, nice young couple that have no children, but, you know, really excited about their first home. So,
oh, great.
It's great. We're going to be able to harness all of that energy. Hey,
great.
Coming up, we're going to be talking about making that garage floor look a whole lot better than it does right now. We've got some tips for you right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio, the number one place for practical, realistic home improvement tips. Call anytime, 800-946-4420.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Regardless of your skill level in home repair or woodworking, you want a glue that you can trust, because a glue that doesn't work can ruin any project in a hurry. Fortunately, Titebond has the glue you need to get the job done with confidence. From interior glues with strong initial tack and short clamp times, to exterior glues with exceptional strength and water resistance, look to Titebond for the right glue for your next project. For more information, visit Titebond.com or see them on Facebook.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with SimpleMat from Custom Building Products. SimpleMat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot. Are drafty windows causing a chill in your home? Keep the cold out with Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kits. This window film creates an added barrier between warm inside air and the frigid temperatures outside, blocking drafts that steal energy and drive up your heating bill. The puncture-resistant film is 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high-traffic or pet-friendly homes. And the crystal-clear film is easy to install and remove once warmer weather arrives. Visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I want to remind you about signing up for our free e-newsletter. All you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com/newsletter and sign up today. Each week in your inbox, you will receive the latest, greatest, most current, most practical home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. So that's todayshomeowner.com/newsletter. Right now we're going to West Virginia. Bonnie's on the line. Bonnie, welcome to the show and tell us what's going on. I understand you're considering a garage project here.
Well, it's not really a garage floor. It is a patio floor and it's cement. And I've seen an episode of where you did a garage floor and you put these speckles in the floor. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if you did it while you was painting or exactly how you did it. But I came up with that idea. I thought that's what I was going to do. But I need to be reminded how you did that.
Okay, certainly. I'd be glad to. And that is a real popular project. And I'll tell you, we've been getting so many emails from homeowners especially over the last few months, about how to make their concrete surfaces look a little better, whether it's patio, front porch, driveways, sidewalks, whatever. And I'll tell you, there's been products in the past, epoxy coating, that you mix up, you pressure wash and clean the concrete, you apply this, and then you sprinkle the little sprinkles on top of it. Well, I think anybody that's ever used this realize it's not that easy getting a consistent sprinkle job out of these things, just like putting sprinkles on a cake. It's hard to get it nice and even. So what we found and what we've been using more than anything, and probably what you saw on our television show, is us applying one of the Deitch coatings. And Deitch is a sponsor of ours and been friends of ours for quite some time, and they really do have it figured out because it's all integrated into the paint, into the coating. They have really good directions on exactly how to go step by step, and even most of the tools and supplies that you need are included in their garage floor kit. So I would go to DeitchCoatings.com, and that's spelled D-A-I-C-H, and you'll see a lot of videos on how to apply. They have actually several different kinds. I put one in my garage in my new house coating that's a kind of an almost an industrial type that almost has a faux finish to it. But because of the texture of the roller pad that came with the kit, it left a little slight texture on it to where you don't have any issues with slipping and falling. It gives you just a little bit of grip, but still very easy to keep clean. So, Bonnie, I think that's what I would consider. There's a lot of different colors and styles that are available. It'll make that patio look phenomenal.
Well, great. Great. That sounds good. See, that's more than what I knew before.
And it's easy to do yourself, like anything. Just read those instructions. You can knock it out in a weekend, and you'll be pretty proud of that patio area.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And I appreciate you taking the time to care for this little person in West Virginia.
Oh, anytime. Any way that we can help you with you or anybody there in that neck of the woods, we're happy to do, and you can reach out to us anytime. And Bonnie, I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you, and you too. Have a great day. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
And I'm sure she can find videos online on the Today's Homeowner website of you applying this finish.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt. We've got a number of different videos there at todayshomeowner.com as well as DeitchCoatings.com. Let's go right to our emails. This one came in from Vera in Georgia. We have a screen porch with a concrete floor. Here we go, more concrete, that sweats really badly when the humidity is high. We're thinking of laying down a moisture barrier and then setting tile on top. Do you think that will keep the tile from sweating? If not, can you suggest some other type of flooring? We thought about outdoor carpeting, but are concerned that moisture from the concrete would make the carpet wet constantly. Thank you for your help. I'm not sure laying down plastic is going to be the type of protection and membrane they need long term. What would you recommend on that for Vera, Joe?
Well, Vera wants to tile it, then she's going to have to put down an uncoupling membrane, which we've talked about before. The one I've used is called Ditra, D-I-T-R-A, Ditra. There are other companies that make it as well. But you put that down first in a bed of mortar, and then you set your tiles on top of that. What that does is it blocks the moisture coming up, if that's our issue, and also makes a much more stable surface for the tile, so it's not going to have a lot of cracking or popping. And so if you went to the manufacturer of Dietra's Schluter, S-C-H-L-U-T-E-R, and she can see videos and a whole bunch of information about that uncoupling membrane.
All right, right around the corner, another simple solution. Joe, give us just a little tease of what we might expect from that simple solution in just a minute.
All right, well, spring is here and people are planting, so I thought I'd give a simple solution on how to make a DIY soil test.
That sounds great. This is a good time of the year to be testing the soil and getting ready for all the growing season. Whether you have a garden or whether you're trying to get those shrubs to kind of perk up a little bit, it all starts with wherever they're planted. Joe's going to give you a great tip on how to get a good kickstart during this spring. Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Add beauty and excellent foot traffic to all types of slippery surfaces around your home with the TrackSafe system from Deitch Coatings. Start with the new TrackSafe color coat in one of five colors, pre-mixed and ready to install on steps, walkways, patios, and pool decks, even garage and workshop floors. Then finish with clear coats of TrackSafe anti-slip sealer to add slip-resistant safety. Plan your next project and order online today at the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com. When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
From installing a smart garage door opener to installing a bathroom faucet to removing a tree, the Home Depot believes you can do anything, especially the things we have how-to guides for. Visit HomeDepot.com for thousands of tips, workshops, and ideas for projects, big and small. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here along with Joe Truini. And we really want to say how much we appreciate you spending some time with us during your busy weekend. We know there's a lot of options out there, a lot of things you can watch, you can see, you can listen to. There's so much out there. We appreciate you spending some time with us. And this is one of the special times of our show when Joe can share with us another simple solution. Joe, share away.
All right, Danny. It's important to test the pH value of your soil in the garden or in the lawn at least once a year to make sure it's not too acidic or too alkaline. Now, you can certainly buy a soil test kit at any home center or hardware store, but I'm going to tell you how you can make your own using baking soda, white vinegar, and water. All right, so here's what you do. You start by adding a little soil to a clean container. It could be like an empty plastic water bottle, something like that. Just a little soil, and then pour in half a cup of vinegar. If it immediately starts to fizz and bubble, then the soil is alkaline and you need to amend the soil with sulfur, pulverized sulfur. Okay, if there's no reaction, take a second clean container, add a little, some more soil, pour in half a cup of water and mix it well, then add half a cup of baking soda. Now, if that starts to fizz, then the soil is acidic and you must amend with lime. If there's no reaction after shaking this up, then after conducting each test, then the soil has a neutral pH, and there's no need to add any amendments, and you're ready to just start planting.
Boy, that just takes all the guesswork out of, you know, planting. And, you know, almost all plants that I've found, and I'm not a gardening expert by any means, is that pH level should be around 7. And there's right. A few times it's, you know, you want it a little more acidic, you know, here and there. So it's always good to do the information on that. But what a great simple solution. And you have over 500 of them waiting on you right now at todayshomeowner.com/simple-solution. And, you know, some great tips are available there, like, you know, if you're about to do some remodeling projects, some really cool tips on how to minimize the dust and the mess that people think is inevitable when you're doing remodeling. But Joe's got some great tips there at Simple Solutions to be able to help you with it. Also, you know, when you're doing a little painting, how to keep that paint roller clean, how to unclog an AC drain line. You need to pay attention to that coming up when we start really using that drain line, and how to make a junk drawer divider. That drawer you have, you know what I'm talking about, in your kitchen there, and it's quite a mess. Well, you can organize it a little bit with a very simple way of going about it. Joe, that's something that I think one of those ambush questions that we could have from time to time when a caller calls in. We can say, before we answer your question, tell us, what do you have in your junk drawer? Right. You know, and I mean, there's all kinds of things that that you can imagine that people will have there. You know, twist ties and an right. old knob. What's the knob for? I'm not sure, but one day I'm going to look right. and a knob will be missing and I'll say, I have that knob. So, you know, right. you never know.
Right. Well, scissors are always a big thing, right? Measuring tape. But what I think is interesting about the junk drawer is that probably about 50% of it everybody has. It's the other 50% that's interesting.
Well, I love how many times the old junk drawer has saved the day on just needing one or two things in there. So we'll have to start asking that question. I want to remind you what you can see on the Today's Homeowner television show this weekend. We're calling it our Front Porch Rehab. I remember this project well, where we had a house at the end of a cul-de-sac, and the front bushes and shrubs had grown up so much that the homeowner sitting on the front porch could barely see out into the street. More importantly, not able to keep an eye on their two grandkids. So we removed all of the bushes and the handrails. It wasn't too far up off the ground, so we were able to do that. And it opened it up completely. Then a little paintwork here and there. Had to repair some shutters. If you have wood shutters and you need a few repairs on those, boy, you need to watch the show and see how we very easily repaired some existing wood shutters. And also just a few little things there that we did, including stenciling the concrete front porch. Amazing how quick and easy that went. You need to see all of it by going to todayshomeowner.com and find out where you can see it in your area. Well, that'll pretty much wrap up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford along with Joe Truini. Thanks so much for spending some time with us here at Today's Homeowner Radio.